Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry, Wyatt Johnson Ford, Gary Zier, Remax Elite, and Geno's East.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday evening alongside Chase McCabe, co-host of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Weekdays 10 to 2, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase, how are we doing this evening?
Oh, we're good. A little hockey tonight. So excited about that.
Yeah, it's a rare Preds Insiders on a game day.
I know, I like it.
Tonight,
you have to feel special.
It does a little bit. The Preds visit the Vancouver Canucks tonight, pregame at 8 o'clock, puck drop at 9, as the Preds close out their road trip against the Vancouver Canucks following Saturday's 3-2 loss on the road in Edmonton. A tough loss Saturday night. We will get to that loss here in just a few minutes. But Chase, I have to ask you how your ankles are doing today.
Well, they're a little sore, and I know what you're alluding to. So, So listen, here's the deal. I'm a sportscaster. I'm a broadcaster, whatever you want to call it. I'm not an athlete. I don't claim to be an athlete. I've never been a good athlete.
Nor should you.
Nor should I.
To be an athlete.
No, I don't have an athletic bone in my body, and I don't know if that's God's work, my parents, or a combination of everything, but that's the way it is. And so I got on ice skates yesterday for the second time in my life, went down to the Preds' really cool outdoor rink that they have.
When was the first time in your life?
About 2 years ago at Ford Ice Center.
Okay, continue.
So my only time on skates have been as a result of this radio station and our relationship with the Nashville Predators.
Was it curling?
Well, I didn't wear skates for curling.
Well, I didn't know if you were counting that.
No, no, no.
Because that did happen on
ice. That's true. No, I went, it wasn't too long after the Ford Ice Antioch opened up.
Okay.
And they had like a free skate on Friday night. And I went with a couple of friends. Joe Dubin was one of them. And Fox 17 was out there with a couple of people that I knew from Fox 17 that used to work here. Kelly Rippon, Samantha Singer. And it was entertainment for them because they're all like, come on, let's go skate. Take my hand. And I'm like falling all over the place and hanging onto the wall and all that. It was the same result yesterday. Now, there were moments where I could let go and get going, and then I'd almost fall again. The video that you should all see is on my Twitter account, at Chase on Game, where I'm going along, and I start to get confident, and I'm like, yeah, I'm doing it. And I wipe out, and I grab the wall, and there's this little kid there that he like leans over to look at me and just kind of has this look like, you all right, bro?
How old would you say that kid was?
I'd say 8, maybe, okay. 7.
That's a fair guesstimate after seeing the video myself.
Yeah, Gina from Promotions, as she's known. I don't know how she kept the camera steady, because every time I turn around, she's laughing. Like, she's in tears, and she knows how to skate. And she's trying to cheer me on and give me advice and, like, bend your knees. And she goes, get in an athletic position. And I just turned and looked at her. I'm like, how long have you known me? There is no athletic position. There is the one position. That's me.
My favorite video, honestly, of you on the ice over at Bridgestone Arena, which anyone listening to this can go.
Yeah, go check it out. It's cool.
To the rink and probably skate better than Chase McCabe and have just as good of a time. I'm sure it was still a great time.
The Predators made it very clear that I cannot sue them if I fall and bust my, you know what.
The video in which I cracked up the most was you trying to get off the ice.
Yes.
And I could just see you like thinking of, all right, how do I go left foot first? Do I go right foot first? How is this going to work? And then plop right on your butt.
Okay. So that was the first time. So I did it twice. I had to exit twice because I was like, I'm done. And I went and sat down, and Gina's like, you're not done. She was skating around having a big time. I'm like, no, I'm coming back. And I was trying to figure out how I could weasel out of that. But then I was like, you know what? I'm a man of my word. So I went back on, and it was better. It was easier the second time. And so I'm about to step off again, and I remember the first time that I just fell right on my behind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a keister, as Pete Weber would say.
Yes. And Terry Crisp.
And the second time I was like, all right, we're going to do this. And I just I basically kept balance. I changed feet, and I was able to do it. So, yeah. But it was fun. It's really cool for Hockey Day in America, which is coming up on February 16th. That was the whole reason for going out there, to try and promote it.
Sure.
Really neat that the Preds have put that out on the plaza. You know, they've had the outdoor rinks before, but this one's right outside Bridgestone Arena. So I think that's really cool.
On the plaza.
On the plaza.
This isn't over in the park, in Hall of Fame Park, over there outside of the Hilton. But very cool to see you skate, or attempt to skate.
Yeah,
I say that with love.
I'll do anything, you know, for a laugh.
Yes, you will. We all know that, for everyone who has known you for a long time. But if you're interested in going out to the rink out there at Bridgestone Arena, just go to NashvillePredators.com. All right, Saturday night, Preds lose 3-2 to the Edmonton Oilers. And Chase, the Preds made it 2-0 late in the second period. Nick Bonino with a deflection goal, and they were a little over 8 seconds away from getting to the second intermission with a 2-0 lead. And then UC Saros makes a save. The puck then ricochets off Kyle Turris's skate as he's trying to corral the puck. Yeah. He cannot corral the puck. And it's almost like Kyle Turris was watching the puck in slow motion after that.
No.
Exactly. And the puck goes in the net, and the Oilers make it 2-1. And the game seemed to change on that play. In the third period, Leon Draisaitl scores 2 goals, 1 on the power play, a little less than 7 minutes remaining in the game. And those were a tough 2 points, or even a single point, to let slip away up there in Edmonton.
And that was so tough. And you bring up the end of the second period. Chiasson gets the power play goal. And it was like you just felt, you still felt like they were in it, but some wind got knocked out of their sails. And I'll say this too, as much as I love Nick Bonino scoring, I was very upset with him because of that tip-in, because I was hopeful that it was Dan Hamhuis. Dan Hamhuis was breaking through. But nonetheless, it got away from him in the third period with Edmonton battling back and taking the lead with Draisaitl, as you mentioned. With all that said, I still like the way they played. And I know that there are some people, and I know we're going to talk about this, the officiating, there were some calls that I didn't exactly like. I'm not using that as an excuse, and neither did John Hines after the game. But even in a loss, you still see a difference with this team. They've had some clunkers here and there since John Hines took over, but I'm starting to see this team play much, much better, play more to their abilities, and you saw that against Edmonton. It stinks that they didn't get the 2 points, and you had that just fluky goal at the end of the second period that, you know, ultimately would come back to bite them. But overall, I mean, I feel much better about how this team's playing right now.
I would agree with you. I will say this, though. That is a loss Saturday night that if it happens in November, you brush off your back.
Sure. Good point.
With the current position they're in, it stung. The way they lost that game, they came close to tying the game. Roman Josi hits the post with less than 2 minutes to go in that game. They are in such dire need of points. And, yes, they started the road trip on a high note by winning in Winnipeg, then going to Calgary and winning there as well, that you were hoping that they could just carry that over. You're up 2-0 late in the second period. You haven't won more than 2 games in a row since late October, and it slips away from you. And yes, there were bad calls. The officiating in the National Hockey League, and really sports as a whole, continues to be inconsistent. If you're going to call embellishment on Mikael Granlund on the Connor McDavid holding penalty, then why didn't you call embellishment on Leon Draisaitl on Jared Tenorti's interference call? So the consistency is still lacking with officiating, but I don't think there's really anything that's going to change that. If I'm being completely honest, it's the human element of officiating, especially in hockey. The game is so fast, you're not going to have consistent officiating for both teams, as hard as that is to hear if you're a Preds fan or any other fan that is affected in the standings by poor officiating like the Preds were on Saturday night.
I mean, it's why I always say you can't use it as an excuse. I mean, it stinks. I mean, it can make you mad, but it's everywhere. It's not just the NHL. I mean, we've talked about it with football and college and professional, and you know, it just it comes with the territory, unfortunately. But for the Predators, I mean, this is a lesson of they just have little room for error. They just they cannot make many mistakes.
That's why it's
down
stung.
The stretch, right? Because they were in a position to win in a game that they probably should have won, but a couple of mistakes here and there, a couple of bad bounces here and there, and it costs them. And it just they've kind of used up all their mulligans. And I said earlier on the midday show, and Darren and I kind of went back and forth on this. I think they are playing like a playoff team right now. They're starting to play like a playoff
team.
In
their last few games?
However you want to word it. I'm not saying they are, because I said a few weeks ago that they're not a playoff team, but I'm starting to see those signs of they're starting to turn it around. Can they consistently do it? Can they finish the road trip strong with a win? Because if you go 3-1 on the road trip, you feel pretty good coming back to Bridgestone Arena. But then you got to take care of business at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been a struggle for them. I mean, that's one I can't explain. They like walk into Bridgestone Arena and all of a sudden have just forgotten how to win.
Sure.
So I think that's something, that's the next step for them. But they got to get the 2 points tonight, and I think they're capable of doing it. It's a tough team. It's a tough ask. But the way they've played on this road trip, I think they're going to give them a good game.
So following Saturday night's loss in Edmonton, the Preds are still at 59 points. They are now 3 points out of a playoff spot, 3 points behind Calgary, 4 points behind Winnipeg. Winnipeg and Calgary, the two teams right there holding the wild card positions. And then Arizona has 61 points. Minnesota and Chicago have 58. So you've got six teams separated by 5 points right now. And that is just for the wild card. That doesn't include Edmonton and Vegas sitting at 64 and Vancouver at 65 in the Pacific Division. So the Pacific Division really is all about who's hot and who's not. And whoever's hot in April or late March is probably going to win the Pacific Division and get into the playoffs. Well, unless you have a long stretch of not collecting points.
Yeah, and we've seen those things happen before. I mean, whether it's a division or a wild card, I mean, a team gets hot at the right time and they, you know, barely get in. Where have you heard this before? And all of a sudden they make a run.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I still say that team that I'm referring to with the Predators was playing better consistently throughout the year, and they had their ups and downs, but I think that there was just something different about that team because they hadn't been there before, so they had that, oh, we're about to show you. Now it's we've been there before, and it's like we have to figure out how to get the mindset changed. And once they do that and they're in the process of doing that, they could be dangerous, but you're still waiting for some of that to click with some of the players. You know, Philip Forsberg's one. Got to see more out of him. Mm-hmm. This dude. And I think Mikael Granlund's a great story right now, but somebody like Forsberg, Johansson, those guys, they still have another level.
Coming up next, what needs to happen tonight for the Nashville Predators road trip to be determined a success? We'll get to that next. He's Chase McCabe. I'm Ryan Porth. You are listening to Preds Insiders live on ESPN 102.5, the game streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Coach, how do you view this one overall here tonight?
I thought we deserved better tonight. I really liked our game. I thought we played well. I thought we played well enough to win. I think, unfortunately, a couple bad bounces went in, you know, particularly the first goal. And then, you know, we got to find a way to kill that 4-on-3 to be able to go in. But I think there's a lot to build off of tonight's game. And unfortunately, we didn't find a way to win it. But I think if we play like we played tonight more often than not, we're going to find ways to win games.
That was John Hines following Saturday night's loss in Edmonton by a score of 3-2. Preds complete their road trip tonight in Vancouver. Pregame coming up at 8 o'clock, puck drop at 9. All the action heard on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth here, Preds Insiders, alongside Chase McCabe, co-host of Darren Donick and Chase, weekdays 10 to 2, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Also does a lot of work on the pre- and post-game shows of the Nashville Predators radio network. Chase, when you look at tonight's game, you hear John Hines there said he likes he liked the way they played Saturday night, as you mentioned as well in the first segment. But tonight, you're facing the Vancouver Canucks in their barn at home. The Canucks are 17-6-3. They have been a very good home team all season long. The Preds have been a pretty good road team for most of the season. This is a big game tonight as the Preds wrap up their four-game swing in Western Canada. For you, Chase, what needs to happen tonight for this road trip to be billed a success?
2 points.
2 points.
Yep. And I think there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, you're in a position where you left two on the table Saturday night against Edmonton. And everything we just said about that game, at the end of the day, you didn't win. So you left 2 points on the table. You need to get two tonight. Now, do you feel better if you get one? Okay. Yeah, that's one more than you had. But I think, to me, it's a win. It's 2 points because that's going to help you in the standings. If you look at where the Predators are right now at 59 points, now I don't know what Winnipeg, Calgary, Arizona, I have to look at their schedules, but that puts you on par with Arizona at that point with two more points at 61. You got to keep on pace with these other teams right now. And while they could go out and play a great game and play a pretty clean game, similar to what they did against Edmonton and lose, as you said earlier in the show, Ryan, you feel better about that in November than you do right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much on the line with not only getting into the playoffs, but David Poile's got to figure out what the heck he's going to do in 2 weeks at the trade deadline. Is he going to buy? Is he going to sell? Is he going to tweak? Is he going to stand pat? And he doesn't have the answers right now. We asked him last week in his weekly with us, and he's like, you can ask me this again next week, and my answer is probably going to be different. I'm still in wait and see mode, and he referenced this road trip of seeing what happens on it. So to me, that's a long answer. I think you got to win. I think 2 points.
This is a Vancouver Canucks team that, as we've stated, is currently leading the Pacific Division. This is also a Vancouver Canucks team that you lost twice to back in November during that six-game losing streak back earlier in the season. You lost at Vancouver 5-3. You lost at home against Vancouver 6-3. That was the power play goal barrage that the Canucks had on the Preds. That's a combined 11-6 mm-hmm. by the Vancouver Canucks in two meetings so far this season. Pekka Rinne slated to be between the pipes tonight for the Nashville Predators. Jacob Markstrom in net for Vancouver. So the two starting goaltenders going at it tonight between these two teams. And I have to agree with you, Chase. I mean, they are in the business of getting points right now. One I could live with. But for this road trip to be looked at as a success, I think you have to get two. Because yeah. Everyone going into the road trip, including ourselves, we were saying this is the biggest stretch of this team's season. Following that just, mind-boggling loss against Vegas at home, 3-0, worst offensive performance of the season, you knew it was do-or-die time for this team. They win the first two games of the road trip. You let one slip away Saturday night in Vancouver or in Edmonton. You can't allow the same to happen tonight against the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, so we're on the same page on that. And here's another thing to consider tonight, Ryan, that the lineup's going to look a little bit different. They didn't skate today, but Coach Hines did say that Cale Yarncroke and Austin Watson are going to be back in the lineup. So Yakov Trenin and Colin Blackwell coming out. You mentioned Pekka Rinne that he's going to play. So they're going to have a little bit of a different look after three games of UC Saros, who has played well. If you look at the stats, he is now above that .900 save percentage mark, and Pekka Rinne is knocking on the door with an .898. So the goaltending has definitely been better. This is all positive. But at the end of the day, the only thing that people really care about are the final standings and the number of points, and we know that magic number is typically around 90 to 95 points to make the playoffs. The Predators currently sit at 59, so they have some work to do between now and the end of the season, and it starts tonight. They have to get it done, and you're not going to win every game. Nobody's expecting you to win out, but you got to win a majority of them and accumulate those points, and I think this is a good opportunity tonight.
Yeah, the Preds are currently on pace for 89.5 points.
Yeah,
that's not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough, especially in a competitive Western Conference playoff field. Look, you won Thursday night in Calgary. That was fantastic. But since then, you've seen the Flames bounce back with a win. You've seen the Jets win a couple in a row. Especially last night, the Jets get a big win against the Chicago Blackhawks at home also in comeback fashion. So if you're the Preds, you just have to keep collecting points.
Yep.
And even if you win tonight, You win 3 of 4 on the road trip. It is a great road trip if you win tonight and you collect 6 of a possible 8 points from the trip. But you can't follow it up later this week at home against the Islanders with a dud, or then have the back-to-back against St. Louis and have similar results to the back-to-back you had with St. Louis last February, where you only had one, or you only collected 1 of a possible 4 points. You just have to remain consistent, and eventually you have to string together some wins. Like, you, whether it's 3, whether it's 4, whether it's even 5, if you want to assure yourself of being right there at the end of the season, you can't keep trading wins for losses.
No, you can't. I mean, you got to put together a winning streak. And that's easier said than done, but that's to your point. I mean, you just, winning 2 is great, but you go 2-1, 2-1, or 2-2-2. You know, that's been the season. You have to put together some consistent wins. And I mean, a point streak, okay, sure, that's one thing. But I think trying to build something where you're winning 3, 4, 5 in a row, what you were just saying, it does 2 things. One, you're getting the points, which is obviously what you're looking for. But it also builds confidence. And I think everybody will agree that if you look at this season as a whole, this team that at one time was very, very confident and had a lot of swagger, they've lost that. Now they're slowly starting to get it back. They're showing signs that it's coming back. But especially at home, this barn used to be a place where no team wanted to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not that way. They can get that back, but it all starts with, I think, you build the confidence with this road trip and you carry it over to Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah, they've lacked a little bit of a swagger on home ice. Really,
overall.
I'll date that back. Yeah, overall. But they've at least played a more consistent brand of hockey on the road. I'll date the home struggles or the lack of consistency on home ice back to Game 5 against Colorado in Round 1 in the 2018 playoffs. That was the first time that game, that was the first time the Preds had ever given up a lead in like the last 5 minutes of a playoff game.
Yeah.
They went up 1-0 on a weird goal by Nick Bonino. The Avalanche come back, score a couple to keep their season alive. They pushed the series to a Game 6 out in Denver, where the Preds eventually won that series. But then the Preds lost 3 of 4 on home ice the next series against Winnipeg. So they just need to have that swagger. Obviously, that's easier said than done because we've been talking about it for so long. Couple notes on the Blue Jackets today as they pertain to a couple former individuals within the Preds organization.
Yep.
Some good news. Paul Fenton gets a job with the Columbus Blue Jackets as a scout.
Right.
So that is a nice asset added to the Blue Jackets front office. Paul Fenton, obviously, last offseason, relieved of his duties as the GM of the Minnesota Wild. And
pretty late in the game, too, when
yeah,
that news came down. Bill Guerin taking over.
For sure. And also on, I guess, a more disappointing note, Seth Jones is out, quote, a while after ankle surgery.
Yeah.
So Seth Jones having a really solid season once again for the Columbus Blue Jackets, former 4th overall pick for the Preds back in 2013. Seth Jones is going to miss some time with an ankle injury, and I have a feeling that's going to impact the Blue Jackets standing within a very competitive Eastern Conference race as well. The Eastern Conference, when you look at the point totals, it's night and day from the Western Conference. The East has been a lot better,
yeah,
depth-wise than the West this season. So that is a big blow to their playoff chances.
Columbus 8-1-1 in their last 10. Now they just lost one recently, but I think it's interesting to have Seth Jones go on IR. You know, what is Jarmo Kekalainen going to do at the trade deadline? We know what he did last year,
mm-hmm.
and we know that it worked in some capacity because they swept Tampa Bay and moved on to the second round for the first time in their history. So, you know, he has made those moves. But now this team hanging around in third place in their division in a playoff spot right now, obviously going to need some help with a player the caliber of Seth Jones going down.
Speaking of Columbus, we are going on a road trip, Chase McCabe.
We are.
We are taking a Preds bus trip thanks to Gray Line and simplyafan.com. We're taking the bus trip this spring to Columbus on March 14th. It's a Saturday. If you are interested in going on the bus trip, you can go to thegamenashville.com and you can find info there. The tickets will go on sale starting next Monday, February 17th. Excited to take another bus trip. Last year, we went to St. Louis. It was a day trip. And now going to Columbus, there's an overnight stay up there in downtown Columbus. It's a nice city, nice arena there at Nationwide Arena. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. And we had fun going to St. Louis. This year, it's going to be even more fun, an overnighter. And I've never been to Columbus. I've never been to the city of Columbus. I've never been to the Blue Jackets arena. I hope we don't hear the cannon. I just want to hear it one time when they come out.
Yep, I was about to say, you will hear it.
Yeah, I just want to hear it that one time. I can be prepared for it. I don't want to hear it after that. As much as I love AC/DC, I don't want to salute for those that are about to rock. So, don't want to do that.
Well played.
Listen, it's going to be neat. And, you know, this is fun for me as I'm checking off things of now that I'm a daily host of, you know, getting to do this, a bus trip like this for the first time since becoming a daily host. It's going to be neat.
It will be. We are 2 weeks away from the NHL trade deadline.
We are.
Adam Vinken of The Athletic put out an interesting article today with trade tiers. Do we agree or disagree with any of the names on this list? We'll get to that next. He's Chase McCabe. I'm Ryan Porth. You are listening to Preds Insiders, brought to you every Monday and Wednesday by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry. For all your dental needs, visit KellyERice.com. Also brought to you by Kerry Zire Remax Elite, Nashville's number one Ford dealer, Wyatt Johnson Ford, and Geno's East on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Korean Veterans Boulevard in downtown Nashville. More Preds Insiders coming up next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in to the show. Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe here with you on this Monday evening. Preds Insiders rolling along here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Slapshot Radio coming up at 7. Preds pregame as the Preds visit the Vancouver Canucks. Darren McFarland will have all the pregame coverage for you starting at 8. Puck drop at 9 out on the Pacific Coast against the Vancouver Canucks. Big game tonight for the Preds as they visit the Pacific Division leaders. Chase, we are 2 weeks away from one of my favorite days on the calendar.
Oh, me too.
The NHL trade deadline. It will be at 2:00 Central once again. And the Preds have been in the rumors a little bit. I think a lot of people are trying to figure out what this team is just going to do, what David Poile, what his strategy is going to be. Maybe David Poile doesn't have an idea yet of what his strategy is going to be come 2 weeks from now.
I'll ask him Thursday at 11:15 on Darren Donick and Chase and let you know.
That's called a tease.
Yes.
Right there. So Adam Vinken of The Athletic comes out with a story today looking at the different tiers of players and whether or not it's likely that they get traded. Adam Vinken, under the category of it's not happening, Pekka-Rinne, Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, Matthias Ekholm, Dante Fabbro, Matt Duchene, Colton Sissons, UC Saros, Philip Forsberg, Victor Arvidsson. Hard to disagree with any names on that list.
I don't disagree with it, but there are two that I would say if he really got his socks knocked off, he might consider it.
Who?
I know he just signed a long-term deal, but Colton Sissons could possibly be there. I tend to agree with Adam that it's probably not going to happen. But then the one that I think he, again, would have to be really blown away by and wouldn't want to do, but would if he had to, is Victor Arvidsson. But otherwise, I pretty much agree with that.
You're selling pennies on a dollar if you're trading Victor Arvidsson.
Yeah. I mean, it would have to be
sure.
A really, really, and you're probably getting picks and a player. I mean, you're getting a lot back if you do something like that.
I think with Victor Arvidsson, you keep him on into next season with the hopes that he's going to bounce back.
Yeah.
He's clearly not himself.
Nope.
He hasn't had the burst. As I detailed last week on Preds Insiders with Adam Vinken, he has not scored one goal this season off the rush, which is unbelievable when it comes to Victor Arvidsson because he thrives off the rush.
I think it's the equivalent of when you get in a car wreck, you're a little squeamish after the car wreck, you know, because you don't want to get in another one. He took a pretty nasty hit, a dirty hit, and I just think he's still feeling the effects of, you know, the fear of getting hit again. Mm-hmm. And I'm not hating on him by any means. I mean, but
he also does have the burst. That's the thing.
And he could still be plagued with something. Who knows?
There have been a lot of goals or chances that he's had in recent years where it looks like he's just been shot out of a cannon.
Yep.
And we haven't seen that as much out of number 33 this season. and maybe defenses are scheming some of those breakaways out from Victor Arvidsson. There were a lot of lob passes that went to Arvy that ended up with breakaways, and he ended up scoring. Maybe defenses are doing a better job of sheltering Victor Arvidsson, not allowing him to have chances off the rush. But either way, we both agree Victor Arvidsson has not been the same this season. Another category of Adam Vingan's trade tiers at The Athletic, the category of it's not happening, in season. Under that category, Kyle Turris, Ryan Johansson. Hard to disagree with either of those.
Yeah, they're going to be hard to move, period. They're going to be hard to move right now, for sure, barring any type of miracle. And look, it's still an interesting discussion. Do you want to move either one of them? I mean, Kyle Turris has played better as of late.
I will say this. John Hines has finally found something of consistency with the top six, where you have Matt Duchene on the wing with Ryan Johansson, and then you've got Kyle Turris in between Victor Arvidsson and Philip Forsberg. Granlund, obviously, up there with Duchene and Johansson. This is the most consistent, or maybe the best, I should say, the best this top six has looked in a long time.
Yeah. As for Ryan Johansson, I know there's obviously something different with him. I mean, he has not played to the same ability that an $8 million a year player should. He hasn't lived up to that this year. And I don't know if that is, okay, it's a bad year, like the team has just had a down year. Does it fix itself? Does an offseason help? Does a training camp with John Hines help? I don't know. But at the same time, you're paying the guy $8 million a year. Things haven't been working out, and if they miss the playoffs altogether, I think it's safe to say that this team's going to look different. Mm-hmm. They just are. In the offseason. And so I agree with it's not happening in season. It may not happen at all for either one of them based upon, you know, the cap dollars and stuff like that. But I still think if you did decide to make a move with somebody like Ryan Johansson, there's definitely some value.
Under the category of who would want them, Austin Watson, Yannick Weber, Matt Irwin, Jared Tinordi. Under the category of unproven in the National Hockey League, Jakob Trenin, Colin Blackwell, Eli Tolvanen. Under the category of if the Predators decide to buy at the deadline, the Devils 2020 second round pick. And in recent trade deadlines or in recent Februaries, a second round pick has kind of been a going rate for a quality player. So if the Preds go on a run here and win 4, 5, 6 in a row leading up to the deadline 2 weeks from today, maybe they do become more of a buyer than a seller.
Can they go get Brian Boyle again for a second round pick?
I would love it. I thought Brian Boyle brought something to this team that they don't have.
Can I say, I'm going to say this, and I've alluded to it, but I'm just going to flat out say it. I think if you look back at the moves that David Poile made leading up to this season, I think, and this is just my opinion, I'm not basing this on anything he's told me or anyone's told me, but I kind of wonder if there's a sense of regret of not figuring out how to bring Brian Boyle back, because they have missed him. They have missed that type of player, the big body, gritty guy that'll stand in front of the net, good on the power play. I thought that that was a really good move that they made at the deadline, a little before the deadline last year when they acquired him, and you can tell he's been missed.
We're discussing Adam Vingan's trade tiers for the Nashville Predators at The Athletic. The next tier slash category that Adam Vingan has is if the right offer presents itself. In that category, Nick Bonino, Rocco Grimaldi, Callie Yarncroak, and Dan Hamhuis. I'll say this. If I were GM David Poile and I got a good offer for Nick Bonino, I would really think hard about trading Nick Bonino. I know he's been a quality player and you still have him through next season, but Nick Bonino is the type of player that other teams crave at the deadline. And you might be able to get someone to overpay for him at the deadline, like the Preds did with another defensive-minded center back in 2012, Paul Gostad, where they gave up a first-round pick.
Yeah, that's true.
For Paul Gostad. Someone like a Boston, someone like a Washington. He is someone that has Stanley Cup experience. He's won it twice with the Pittsburgh Penguins. he's someone that I think a lot of teams should be circling for the deadline. Whether or not David Poile trades him, I don't know. If I were GM David Poile, I would think about it.
Yeah, and I brought this up last week to Darren, and his response to me is my response to you. Does that make your team better? And I think the answer right now is no. Now, they're in a weird position. They're in a position they haven't been in for a long time. You could probably get some value, which is what you were just saying, whether it's picks or make a hockey trade and get a lot for somebody like Nick Bonino. So I'm with you in the sense of if it helps you long term when you've pretty much realized it ain't happening right now, then you go ahead and you do it, but it would hurt.
For me, it's all about maximizing the asset. When is his value ever going to be greater?
And we've talked about when, you know, especially with David Poile, just because he's top of mind and he's here, of knowing when to walk away from the table, when to pick up your cards and your chips and walk away from the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Nick Bonino is a prime example of when should he walk away.
Nick Bonino on Saturday night scored his 17th goal.
Rob Dan Hanyan.
Of the season. He did. That's, I believe, the second or third time that Bonino has done that to Dan Hanyan this season. One was in Detroit early in the season. Nick Bonino's career high is 22 goals. Do you think Bonino's going to get to 22?
Ooh, I think so. We'll see.
He has, 28 games?
Yeah, I think he can.
To get five, to
I think
tie,
I definitely think he's
surpass.
Got five, at least five more left in him.
Maybe. Another category for Adam Vingan, the last category. In his trade tiers article at The Athletic, the likeliest to go if the Predators decide to sell at the deadline, Mikael Granlund and Craig Smith. Let's start on Craig Smith. I have a hard time believing David Poile is going to trade Craig Smith before the deadline. Especially because this is a player who's been in the organization a long time, and I could see Craig Smith being a player that re-signs here in the offseason. You could still sign him in the offseason if you trade him and get something for him. But I would think David Poile is going to be a lot more apt to trade Mikael Granlund than Craig Smith.
I think you get more. I mean,
sure.
You know, but I agree. He's Craig Smith. Okay, people want to look at Craig Smith and go, well, he's not scoring the goals. He's, you know, he hasn't played as well. No, he has. Go back and watch the games. You're right. He's not scoring like he usually does, but he is setting up scoring chances for somebody like Nick Bonino and Rocco Grimaldi, two guys that are scoring more than they have ever in their, well, not Nick Bonino, but Rocco,
in their Preds career.
In their Preds career, for sure. They're doing more, they're playing more of an offensive game than they usually have. And Craig Smith is a big part of that because he's setting up those plays. So to say he's not playing well, I push back on that because that's not the truth. He's not scoring the goals. But I'm kind of with you. I feel like as a part of the changes that Craig Smith probably isn't back. He's probably not re-signed. I could be wrong. I know David Poile really likes him. He's a homegrown player. He typically likes to hang on to those guys. But again, I think he doesn't know what he's going to do yet that he probably ends up keeping him.
Sure.
Because he's like, even if unless he gets his socks knocked off for him, he's probably not going to trade him. Mikael Granlund is the one that's the most interesting.
Speaking of Mikael Granlund, on the other side, if we were GM David Poile, what would we do with number 64? That's coming up next. He's Chase McCabe. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Preds Insiders on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. I'm your host, Ryan Porth, here with you alongside Chase McCabe, co-host of Darren Donegan. Chase, weekdays 10 to 2, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can also hear his work on the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Speaking of the Radio Network, pregame coverage coming up at 8 p.m. Puck drop shortly after 9. All the action heard right here at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming up at the top of the hour, it is Slapshot Radio with Paul McCann and crew. Now, last segment, Chase, we discussed Adam Vingan's article in The Athletic where he tiered a lot of players as they pertain to the Predators at the trade deadline, which is 2 weeks from today, February 24th. And two players that he categorized as the likeliest to go if the Preds decide to sell at the deadline, Craig Smith, we discussed him last segment, and Mikael Granlund. Now, Mikael Granlund has been playing a lot better under John Hines than he did under Peter Laviolette. And I think there's a lot of question right now within the Preds fan base of what do you do with Mikael Granlund since he's been so effective in these last few weeks. You're a team trying to make the playoffs. You're right there in the thick of it. A win tonight would go a long way in getting you right back there in prime position. But they've been so topsy-turvy. It's been such a roller coaster since the start of November. And if you can get something from Mikael Granlund, I think a lot of people would say, get that something before he goes to free agency where he's probably going to make north of $6 million.
Yeah.
If you were GM David Poilchase, which would be a great position to be in, what would you do as it pertains to Mikael Granlund?
Well, right now he's one of your most consistent players, which I know to a lot of Preds fans is crazy to hear considering what I believe it was 51 games under Peter Laviolette looked like.
He has 5 goals in 9 games.
Yeah. And
in the last 9 games.
And he had 7 goals in 51 games with Peter Laviolette. So a huge difference. At the same time, I agree with the sentiment of you can probably get something from Mikael Granlund. And
something of value.
Something of value. And I think it's safe to say, see if you agree, probably not going to re-sign him. You're not going to pay him the money. You can't afford to pay him the money that he is going to want and probably get. So I think that it is a very tough position to be in because if you are going to make a run and try and get back into the playoffs, I think you need a player like Mikael Granlund. But if you also want to be realistic and look at, you know, what the future looks like, that he's not going to be back, you want to try and get something for him. I wonder if this is an opportunity. Let's just play the what-if scenario. Let's say they trade him at the deadline and they get second-round pick or whatever for him. This, in my mind, is where you go, let's see what we got in the kid. You call up Ellie Tolvanen. You put him in, you put him under John Hines, you see what they can do with him, and see what happens. That's what I think you do.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you trade some of these guys, I mean, you're going to have to replace them. And, you know, we look at the guys that are already here in a Blackwell and a Trennan, but then there are others in Milwaukee, Pitlick and Ellie Tolvanen, you know, being two of them. I think that that's where you start looking at it. But if you go down that road, then you're probably at that point out of the playoffs and are not going to make a deep run.
To the same point I made last segment with Nick Bonino, as it pertains to Mikael Granlund, I would probably trade Granlund unless you win 5-6 in a row before the deadline, or you win 5-6, 6-7.
Sure.
A stretch like that, I think then you're thinking, let's have him as our own rental if you're GM David Poile, just like the Blue Jackets did last year with Artemi Panarin and Sergei Bobrovsky. If they continue to trade wins for losses and you get through these next 5 games, you've got at Vancouver, you've got home Islanders, you've got the home and home with the Blues this weekend, and you've got Carolina at home next Tuesday. If in these next 5 games you only win 2 or 3 of them and you still find yourself on the outside looking in, you're less than a week away from the trade deadline, and that's when I think I'm fielding serious calls on Mikael Granlund to try to get a second-round pick or more. I mean, Pierre LeBrun was on the Smash Brothers last Friday night with Robbie Stanley and Adam Vingan saying that it might take a second-round pick and a prospect to get Mikael Granlund with as well as he's playing.
And look, that if that's what it is, then you like that. I mean, that's gonna help as David Poile tries to replenish the cupboard from all the trades that he's made over the years of getting rid of some prospects. I think that can be a good thing. And so, you know, if you can get something and still be competitive, but I think you probably have to do it. But again, I think you make the good point of it's got to be like 5-6 or 6-7 or some sort of stretch where, okay, they're winning a bunch of games.
I think after these next 5 games, you have to be within at least a point or two of the wild card.
Yeah.
For me to consider keeping Granlund.
Yeah.
If you're still on the outside looking in like they are right now, where you're 3 points out from Calgary, 4 points out from Winnipeg, and Chicago and Minnesota and Arizona keep collecting points as well, then I'm being a little bit more realistic and saying, you know what? We could still make the playoffs by trading Mikael Granlund. You can still win enough games. It's not like Granlund has been, you know, the end-all be-all for this team.
Sure.
And we've seen teams in the past sell at the deadline but still make the playoffs. I think that would be the ideal scenario for the Preds.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that. So, I mean, I know it's kind of redundant to say, but we really are in a, well, wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we're in.
For sure. Tonight, the Preds visit the Vancouver Canucks. Pre-game coming up at 8, Slapshot Radio coming up next at 7 p.m. Chase, any final thoughts on the game tonight?
I think I just got to pound home what I said earlier. You know, you got to get 2 points. They played decently against Edmonton, probably should have walked out of there with 2 points, but unfortunate bounces and some calls didn't go their way, so that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes, but you got to forget that. Back up Pekka-Rinne tonight and try and get him a win. It's been a while since he's played. I think it's important to see how he's going to respond and how he's going to look. And also you got Calle Järnkrok making his way back in and Austin Watson too. So see what you can do with those guys and go get 2.
Chase McCabe, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.
For Chase McCabe, co-host of Darren Donick and Chase weekdays 10 to 2, ESPN 102.5 The Game, I'm Ryan Porth. Thank you so much for listening to Preds Insiders this evening. Coming up next, it is Paul McCann and Company with Slapshot Radio right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on that Game National app.
Thanks, Paul.